Name something that gets passed around.
A joint.
A joint.
Now, streaming live on the Marijuana Agenda.
Oh, gnarly. What are you people? On dope?
It's time for Toker Talk Radio.
Hey, this is great, man.
The voice of the marijuana nation.
Marijuana is listed as a Schedule I drug. That is absurd.
Call in now at 650-LEGAL-MJ. That's 650-534-2565.
What's to keep somebody from getting all potted up on weed and then getting behind the wheel?
Hey, man. Am I driving okay?
Toker Talk Radio is your chance to make your voice heard in the marijuana nation.
They're walking on their pants with their cap on backwards, listening to Enema Man and Snoopy Snoopy Poop Dog.
Send that message with clarity that good people don't smoke marijuana.
Now let's get to Toking and Talking with your host, Russ Belville.
All right, welcome back, everybody. Time for Toker Talk Radio. And I gotta keep going on about Body Slam Greg for just a minute, because this whole Creationism Museum stuff just really pisses me off. Just, oh, man, that this is even an argument. I mean, there's still people out there that think the Earth is flat, too, so I guess we've got a long way to go. But yeah, this Greg Gianforte, the anti-marijuana candidate in Montana who body slams people that try to ask him questions he doesn't like, funded a Young Earth Creationism Museum. These are the folks that read the Bible literally and say, well, as we track back the begats, all the way to the great Begatsby, and add up all those generations, it only works out to 6,600 years, so that must be how old the Earth is. Yeah, and it's frustrating, too, because there are enlightened religious people out there that understand that these ancient texts that were politically motivated and selectively edited and very mistranslated in multiple cases, witness Cane Bosum becoming Calamus. But regardless, there's enlightened religious people out there that recognize these are parables. These are tales. These are built to instill in people, especially back then in less civilized time, some basic sense of morals. We can question how good those morals are in some, especially the anti-gay stuff. But still, the idea was is parables, not to be meant to be taken literally. I mean, we've got written records from civilizations that existed at the time of Noah's Ark, supposedly. The Sumerians, the Chinese, the Egyptians. We have written records from that time, and none of them mention, oh yeah, we all got drowned by a great flood. Anyway, so the sad thing about this body slam thing happening is that this Gianforte guy is likely to win. Out of 700,000 possible votes, 200,000 have already been cast. They've already been mail-in early absentee ballots, right? So 200,000 votes have already been cast. This is a state that Trump won by 20 points. And while the recent issues with Trump and all have dragged that lead down to about 6 points, the Republicans still had a 6-point lead. So will this swing enough Montanans to cost the election for Gianforte? I don't think it will. I think the guy will be elected. And then Paul Ryan gets to enjoy the fun of having a guy who is actively being prosecuted for an assault or for a battery. We should be clear. Actively being prosecuted with misdemeanor battery in the House. Of course, he'll get along well with the rest of the criminals on the GOP side of the aisle and a few of the Dems, too. Let's not forget that Anthony Weiner was just sentenced recently for sexting a minor. Keep in your pants, Anthony. Your last name's Weiner. I mean, come on. Don't make it so obvious. Anyway, let me get out of the politics of that for just a second and get back into the marijuana politics. Because as you know, the big story this week was Vermont's governor vetoing the first ever legalization that had been passed by a legislature. You know, we've done this all through the initiative system in the 8 states and D.C. that have passed so far. First one passed by a legislature, and so he vetoed it. One guy standing in the way of progress, standing in the way of 69% of the Senate, 54% of the House, 57% of Vermont voters, and 61% of the American public who think marijuana ought to be legal, taxed, and regulated. But this one guy knows better. And, of course, Kevin Sabet was having a field day with this, saying, oh, congratulations, it's such a big win. Yeah, big win when actually the governor has basically said, we're going to go ahead and legalize. I just didn't like this particular legalization. And this is revealed in his veto statement. Got a copy of his veto statement. Here's the governor's primary concerns. This is Governor Phil Scott, the Republican in Vermont, which, by the way, Vermont is one of two states that still have 2-year gubernatorial terms. All the other states have gone to 4 years or more, 2-year gubernatorial terms. So he's up for election again in 2018. So specifically, the governor believes we should know how we will address the following before moving forward with a regulated commercial marijuana system. How public safety officials will detect and measure impairment on our roadways. How the state will fund and implement additional enforcement, administrative functions, safety measures, and substance abuse prevention education. How the regulatory and public health and safety systems will keep our children safe and severely penalize those who do not. And how the state will measure legalization impacts on the mental health and substance abuse issues our communities are already facing. All right, let me break these down. And before we do, let me get you some stats. I'm all about facts, science, reason, and logic. You know me, I look shit up. And in Vermont, that is the state currently with the second greatest monthly marijuana use rate of people age 12 and older in the United States. Number one, Colorado. It's up in the 16% range. Yeah, that's right. 1 out of 6 people in Colorado are using marijuana at least once a month. In Vermont, it's 1 out of 7. It's 14.2%, somewhere around there. 14%, 1 out of 7 in Vermont who are using pot monthly. And this is no outlier. I mean, Vermont's been number one or number two in the most monthly pot use for like the past 5-6 years. And going back even farther, it's always been around the top 5, top 10. So I'm just wondering, how are the Vermont cops catching marijuana DUIs now? Governor Scott is pretending like legalization invents marijuana. Oh my God, suddenly there's marijuana. What are we going to do? How will public safety officials detect and measure impairment on our roadways? How are they doing it now? Are you telling me that the 1 out of 7 Vermonters out there that are smoking pot every month are then getting in their cars and there's no way for cops to catch them if they're too impaired? You're acting like you don't have 1 in 7 people smoking pot now. Whatever problems you think legalization's going to cause, you've got those problems now. How will the state fund and implement additional enforcement? Gee, if you tax and regulate something, you're making money from it, aren't you? I already talked about how much tax revenue is coming in. Washington State's looking at over $700 million over the next 2 years. Colorado's looking at like $105 million over the next year. Oregon's looking at $3.7 million a month coming in from marijuana taxes. I think you can fund the salaries of a few people on a marijuana board. I think you'll be able to cover it. Have we found one state yet out of the 8 that have legalized that is running a deficit because of their marijuana legalization? Oh my gosh, nobody's buying the weed. Gosh, we're just not. Never, this never happens. Come on now. How will the state regulate our safety measures? Safety measures from what? The dangerous potheads that will be created because now they're smoking it legally? Again, 1 in 7 Vermonters are smoking now. How are you keeping the state safe from them now? And substance abuse prevention education. Well, I agree with this. I think it's a good thing that we educate people on proper, responsible, moderate use of marijuana and other drugs. All for that. Why aren't you doing that now? What would be any different? Aside from the fact that the people who might get into a dependent relationship with the substance would at least be getting a substance that's tested and pure and an ID was checked and at least the state made some tax money on it to fund help for that guy if he needs to go in for marijuana rehab. And then this, how will we keep our children safe and penalize people who don't keep our children safe? This should always be your number one red flag, radar up. When you hear politicians start to talk about the children, that's always the go-to excuse to ratchet back the rights of adults. We'll get more into this veto statement after the break. Stay tuned. I'll also tell you 6 things you need to know about marijuana legalization for your summer vacation.
You're listening to The Marijuana Agenda with Russ Belville.
Looking for the 420 friendliest way to visit beautiful legal Potland, Oregon?
I'm Lori Duckworth, inviting you to come stay with us at Delta 9 House and Studios.
You get your own private room with queen bed and access to our high-speed Wi-Fi, premium entertainment system, and more.
We'll even cook you breakfast. Look us up on Facebook at Delta 9 House.
That's facebook.com/Delta9House.
Delta 9 House is booked through Airbnb.com. City of Portland permit number 17-159855.
It's time for Cannabis Facts about teen drug use from Robert Platschorn's thesilvertour.org. This message is supported by our donors and Hemp Inc., a public company poised to lead America's hemp revolution at hempinc.com. A recent survey by the U.S. Centers for Disease Control indicates that in states that have legalized medical marijuana, the rate of marijuana consumption among high school students has not increased. In fact, in legal states like Colorado, teen use has actually decreased significantly. It's simply no longer a big deal for teenagers in legal states. This was Cannabis Facts from thesilvertour.org, an educational nonprofit supported by our donors and Hemp Inc., a public company poised to lead America's hemp revolution at hempinc.com.
The Marijuana Agenda, like the gay agenda, only with better music.
I'm Russ Belville from the Marijuana Agenda. Join me every 4 weeks for the Northwest Cannabis Chronicle from the Marijuana Business Association. Learn more at mjagenda.com/about.
Vacation to North Dakota, you know, because they've got a town called Argusville. What are you smoking there, boy?
It's time for Toker Talk Radio, the voice of the marijuana nation. Call in now at 650-LEGAL-MJ.
Welcome back, everybody. And we were talking about Vermont Governor Phil Scott's veto statement for the first marijuana legalization bill ever passed by a state legislature. Now, understand this legalization we're talking about was not a tax and regulate legalization. There wasn't going to be any pot shops. This was just, hey, if you're growing two mature plants, yeah, just two, two mature plants, four immature, if you had six plants or less, and you're enclosed in your own house, and you only had less than an ounce of usable marijuana, well, then we'll let you do that. That'll be legal. Okay. So it wasn't like there's going to be a bunch of pot shops, bunch of advertisements, bunch of commercial grows, anything like that. We're just talking about people in their own home growing a couple of houseplants and smoking a little weed. That's the big concern he's got. And also, you know, I already mentioned one out of seven Vermonters smokes pot every month, but also consider Vermont's a decrim state, right? So it's just a civil penalty, just a fine if they catch you with an ounce in public, right? So Vermont's already one of the most tolerant states, sans legalization, that we have in America. Some of the most use, some of the laxest laws. It's got medical marijuana as well, and dispensaries for those medical marijuana patients, so it's not as if they haven't experienced some sort of commercial operation with cannabis. But no, this was freaking the governor out. Couldn't have this because, as he put it, there just wasn't enough concerns addressed as far as driving and kids and so forth. So let me get to a couple other points in his veto statement. His veto statement reads, quote, Vermont's laws must discourage and penalize individuals for usage in the presence of minors. For example, according to this bill, if an adult is smoking with a child in the car, there is only a small fine equal to the penalty for an adult having an open container of alcohol. This is not a sufficient penalty for something that, in the governor's view, rises to the level of child endangerment. Oh, no! All right. So once again, what about the children? And once again, can of bigotry. This guy is implying that having alcohol in front of the kids, drinking in front of the kids, is perfectly acceptable. Why do they come up with these things about not being able to smoke in front of the kids, not being able to use cannabis in the presence of a child? It's because the child will see the adult doing it and think, oh, that's something adults can do. Right? It would equate it with alcohol. It would normalize it like alcohol. And that just, we just can't have that. These people are tiptoeing around the fact that they are cannabigots. They simply hate our kind. They think what we do is disgusting, nasty, and immoral. And only now are they just barely getting around to the idea that maybe we ought not lock you all up over it. This is like the people who, I've got no problem with gay people, but they have to be making out and kissing and being so flamboyant. Well, then you do have a problem with gay people. That's, you can't say that you're tolerant of something, but only if people do it in the way you like. Come on now. And this is what these bans about using in front of kids are all about. Now, what they try to hinge this on, what they try to base it on, they try to say, well, secondhand smoke. If I'm drinking in front of a child, that doesn't harm the child's brain development. Oh, really? But we do have the documented statistics to show that the people who are drinking in front of their kids are more likely to be abusing their kids, neglecting their kids, driving drunk with their kids, all sorts of endangerment to the kids that can't happen if they're not drinking. That doesn't happen. Oh, yeah, there's people that are abusive that don't drink. I'm not trying to say that. I'm trying to say these alcohol-related harms wouldn't happen absent the alcohol, right? But we accept it. This is implied in the veto statement that, hey, there's nothing wrong with drinking in front of the kids. That's fine. We wouldn't want to stand up and say that people are bad parents for drinking in front of their kids. But no, we can't smoke in front of the kids. And as far as the governor is concerned, that's child endangerment. Smoking pot in front of kids is child endangerment, despite the fact that we do not have any reasonable, definitive science, like we do for the secondhand tobacco smoke, that secondhand cannabis smoke is in any way harmful in any normal situation. Now, if you're going to sit in a closet with your kid and hotbox the damn place until you can't see your hand in front of your face, okay, sure, I'm willing to buy it. But come on, most people's pot smoking at their house, the folks I know that have kids, they go outside to the garage or they're out on their porch or they're waiting till their kids go to bed. They're not just huffing and puffing in front of their kids. And even the ones that do smoke in front of their kids are fine. This is just overblown, and it's a lousy excuse to try to once again ratchet back the rights that we willingly and easily give to alcohol drinkers that we deny for cannabis smokers. Now, is he going to come up with any penalties in Vermont for smoking a cigarette in the car with your kid? Let's look that up. Cigarette, car, kid, Vermont. Do we have a law? I don't think there's one. Oh, wait. New Vermont law bans smoking in cars with children. Praise Google. All right. This was 2014. Vermont law bans smoking in cars. Arkansas, Louisiana, California, Maine, Washington, and Oregon ban smoking in vehicles in the presence of children. Well, I might have to change my mind a little bit on this because, as I've said before, I'm willing to accept, as long as we're treated equally with tobacco smokers and beer drinkers, I'm okay with it. So if Vermont law bans the smoking of cigarettes in cars with kids, then fine. Ban the smoking of cannabis in cars with kids. But not your own house, not out on your front porch, not on a family picnic out in the woods or something. Come on now. This is just more demonization of cannabis consumers in a way to make sure that we remain second class drug users. We remain the ones that aren't using the approved drugs, the corporate drugs, the ones that make a lot of profit for people. We're secondhand as long as we stay locked away, out of sight, no lounges, and not in front of kids. maybe they'll decide not to bust us and throw us in prison and ruin our lives.
That's just how white folks will do you.
And there you go. All right, when we come back, we're going to talk a little bit about your cannabis spring, or your cannabis spring break, cannabis summer vacation. We're past spring break. Cannabis summer vacation. We got some tips for you. And I'll wrap up this talk about the veto statement. Governor Scott thinks there needs to be a per se DUID limit. Oh, boy.
At Herbie's Cannabis Seeds, we pride ourselves on bringing you the best quality seeds from the world's most respected cannabis seed producers, all at the lowest online prices. You can find Herbie's Seeds at herbiesheadshop.com. All cannabis seeds are sold as souvenirs and as a means of preserving cannabis genetics. Herbie's Seeds in no way intends to condone, promote, or incite the use of illegal or controlled substances. We strongly urge all prospective customers to check their national laws prior to placing an order. Herbie's Seeds at herbiesheadshop.com. Proud sponsors of the Marijuana Agenda with Russ Belville.
Hey, this is Willie Nelson, or Norman, and I smoke pot and I like it a lot. I learned a long time ago that marijuana is a lot safer than alcohol. There's nothing wrong with the responsible use of marijuana by adults. It's time we stopped arresting and started respecting those who smoke marijuana responsibly. To learn what you can do to help, contact Normal at NORML.org or call toll-free 888-67-NORMAL.
The Marijuana Agenda, like the conservative agenda, minus the hypocrisy.
I'm Russ Belville with the Marijuana Agenda. Join me every 2 weeks for Police for Reform with Law Enforcement Action Partnership. Learn more at mjagenda.com/about.
Pod 2.0. It's not your father's Woodstock weed. It's time for Toker Talk Radio, the voice of the marijuana nation. Call in now at 650-LEGAL-MJ.
Welcome back, everybody. Almost 23 after the hour, and I hope you had a good safety briefing. I'm feeling a whole lot safer now. Quick dispatch from Trump's America. Did you see this story where three ICE agents, Immigrations and Customs Enforcement agents, and I think it was in Michigan, went to a restaurant, had breakfast, and then after breakfast went into the kitchen and busted three immigrants that were working in the kitchen. Three guys who had just cooked the meal and served it to them. They went and busted these guys. Not only is that like cruel and dickish, it's also a little counterproductive if you're looking to eat out as an ICE agent. I predict the loogie to food ratio will skyrocket. I'm not saying it should. That's wrong. That's an assault. You shouldn't do it. I'm just saying it's going to happen. All right, let's get back into this veto statement. One more thing to wrap up in the veto statement that Governor Phil Scott in Vermont is so concerned about in a state where 1 out of 7 people are already smoking pot. The commission must determine an impairment threshold for operating a motor vehicle, an impairment testing mechanism, an education and prevention strategy to address use by minors, and a plan for continued monitoring and reporting on impacts to public health. What was that? Did you say an impairment threshold for operating a motor vehicle? I'm sorry, Governor. That's impossible. Thanks for playing. So, yeah, it's hopeful that we'll get this legalization happening in Vermont with this summer. They're looking to have like a summer session, and they might bring it up. And the governor in his veto has said, look, you do these things, I'll sign this thing. So it's not as if legalization's dead, but at what cost? Are we going to set the standard that any legalization that has to get through a legislature has to include an unscientific per se DUID standard? Governor Scott, I know it's tough, but you need to look at the science on this and just try to understand you can't have even the federal, and these guys are no friends of weed, the federal National Highway Traffic Safety Administration says there's just no way to pull this off. You can't come up with a per se standard from your piss, from your urine, from redundant, right? From your piss, from your saliva, from your breath, from your hair. There's no reliable way of saying that a person at X nanograms of THC is impaired. There's no set standard. How many times do we have to go over this? They set this standard in Washington State with 5 nanogram active THC in blood means you're automatically guilty. They did the same thing in Colorado, except it's a rebuttable inference. Like, you can fight back against it, but that 5 nanograms means by default, you're guilty until you can prove you're not. So in these two states, this is this 5 nanogram limit. And what they found, first thing they found in Colorado, the pot critic for the Westword at that time is a guy named William Breathes. And he had himself test. He went to bed, you know, slept his 8 hours, and then that morning got up, went to a testing lab, had his blood drawn to test it for active THC in his blood. Now, keep in mind, the guy hadn't smoked pot for 8-10 hours. He'd gone to bed and not smoked pot while he was sleeping. And keep in mind, he's a frequent cannabis consumer. He was a pot critic, right? He's smoking pot every day. He goes to the lab in the morning. He tests at 15 nanograms per milliliter. 15 nanograms of active THC. Now, the guy was perfectly sober, hadn't smoked in over 8 hours, and yet 3 times the legal limit for impairment in Colorado and Washington. Nevada's got their set at 2 nanograms of active THC in your blood. Boom. You're impaired. Automatic DUI. Now, I haven't owned a car in 5 years living here in the Pacific Northwest. And part of the reason why, aside from can't afford insurance and gas and all that stuff, is I don't want to be driving. I feel like I'm kind of high profile guy. And if some cops wanted to take me down somehow, the easy way to do it would be to catch me driving, subject me to some sort of THC test, which I'd guarantee to fail, and make me a DUI. So these are completely unscientific. First thing that happens, William Breeze, he tests at 3 times the limit. Next thing that happens, KIRO, this news station in Seattle, takes 3 pot smokers to a driving course to test them to see, because Washington passed this 5 nanogram. Let's see what 5 nanograms is. Let's see how bad that is. So they took these 3 pot smokers. One of them was an infrequent pot smoker, kind of guy that might do it once a year. Next guy was a weekend pot smoker. And the third, a woman I love to this day named Addie Norton. I like to call her All Day Addie because she is a medical marijuana patient. She smokes all day, every day, right? So they take these 3 and they bring them to the test track and they test their blood when they show up to see where they're at. Now, Addie shows up at 15, like William Breathes had, the pot critic, right? Shows up at 15. The rest of them are negligible. They all take the driving test. They all pass it with flying colors. Now, they've got a driving instructor in the car. They got cameras at every angle. And they got a Washington State trooper who is a drug recognition expert watching from outside. All 3 of them drive the course. All 3 drive fine. Then, from that point on, every 20 minutes, they take them in, let them smoke a 0.3-gram bowl of weed, and then measure their blood and get back behind the wheel, right? So they do this round after round after round. And these drivers, even the infrequent guy, are driving fine. They're driving okay. Made a couple little mistakes, but nothing that was super critical that an alcohol drinker would make. Now, the infrequent guy and the weekend guy, eventually they get up to a point, 20, 25 nanograms, and their driving goes to hell. And they even admit it themselves. They're like, man, I shouldn't be driving. This is ridiculous. But All Day Addie? All Day Addie got herself up to 56 nanograms per milliliter before the drug recognition expert said her driving was, quote, borderline, end quote. Just borderline. Wow. Just borderline, 56 nanograms. Now, remember, 5 nanograms is the Washington State legal limit, so she was 11 times the legal limit for impairment under THC. You know what you get when you're 11 times the legal limit for alcohol? Dead. You'd be dead at a 0.88 BAC. Okay. So Alday Addy and the other guys prove that 5 nanograms was way too low. But here's the other side of the problem. The other side of the problem is if I go find some 22-year-old college kid who's never smoked pot in his life and have him smoke a joint of Portland's finest and try to get behind the wheel, he could be too fucked up at 4 nanograms. That could be too much for him. We all have this massively different tolerance levels that have to do with your body weight, with your genetics, with your frequency of consumption. So there is no reliable per se method. So is this the poison pill that kills Vermont legalization? Is this the governor saying, I know, well, let's put something in front of them they can never come up with, and then there'll never be any legalization? No, I don't think it is. I think this governor isn't ideologically opposed to legalization, like he said, but I also think he's uneducated on the science of these issues, the science of parenting in weed, the science of driving in weed, and believes all of the old reefer madness myths that we're going to become crazed monsters of some sort. So I'm afraid what will happen is that the Vermont legislature, because they've already shown they're willing to compromise on things, right? The Senate came up with a tax and regulate, and the House didn't like that, and so they gave up on tax and regulate, made it grow and give, which is the drug dealer's dream policy. What, I can grow weed and people can have weed, but I don't have to have competition from people in business suits? Fantastic. Anyway, they've shown their willingness to compromise, and I think this is a thing they'll compromise on, and we're going to end up with Vermont setting this precedent of being a legislative state that sets up a per se DUI for marijuana. And I think you'll see that spread throughout New England as those states start to ratchet up their programs. It's just a damn shame because it is completely unscientific. There's just nothing to it whatsoever. All right, let me get on to some other quick stories before we take a break here. Talking about some other drugs, there was a piece that came out in the British media I was just reading where they analyzed data from the World Health Organization and people's attitudes and use of various drugs, including, this is like European stuff, and they usually monitor from age 15 on up out there. And so what they did is they did an interesting survey where they took the number of people that use a particular drug, and then they compared it to how many users of that drug went to the hospital because they're having a bad problem with it, okay? And so they found that cannabis, one of the safest drugs out there, they find cannabis had like a 0.6%. Like 0.6% of the people that had tried it ended up having some issue that was enough for them to go to the hospital. And other drugs were, you know, in the higher single and double digits, right? You know, ecstasy or methamphetamine or heroin or PCP or whatever, even alcohol, right? So cannabis was far, far safer than all of these with respect to the ratio of users versus hospitalizations. But one drug was safer. That's right, folks. One drug was safer. We keep saying marijuana is safer than alcohol. Now we may have to say magic mushrooms are safer than marijuana. That's right. Magic mushrooms came in as the drug with the lowest incidence of hospitalizations per user. It was like 0.2, right? It was three times safer than cannabis in that metric. Now, we see this in other measurements, right? LD50, if you know what that is, that's the lethal dose that kills 50% of a test population. And so when drugs are measured, they have this effectiveness ratio that you can measure, which is the ED50, which is how much dose do you need to get half the population the effect you're looking for, in this case, high, versus LD50, which is how much do you need for half the population to die? And we're talking usually populations of rats that you're giving this stuff to, not people, right? So a drug that has an ED-LD ratio of 1 to 10 means one dose will get you high, 10 doses will kill you, half the time, right? Half the population. There's a lot of variables, but just half the population, right? Alcohol is a drug with a 1 to 10 ratio. Now, that 1 might be varied depending on your size. If you're some petite ballerina, 1 means 1 shot. If you're me, it might mean 3 shots, whatever, right? But 10 times that much will kill you. 10 times that much will kill you. So the closer that ratio is, the more dangerous a drug is. You get something like heroin's like a 1-to-8, right? It's like some of these drugs get to the 1-to-5 range, right? The range for cannabis technically can't be measured because there is no LD50, right? You can't reasonably take enough to kill you, but it's somewhere in the 1-to-20,000 range. Psilocybin mushrooms, 1-to-40,000. And far less dependency measured on these drugs either. Psychedelic drugs aren't addictive in the traditional sense. So good job, magic mushrooms.
You're listening to the Marijuana Agenda with Russ Belville.
New beginner guitars and banjos are often constructed much better than ones built before your time. Why struggle? Get a new instrument or fix the old one. The trusted professionals at the Fingerboard Extension will evaluate your instrument for free. Repairs are priced for people who work for a living. Stop by the Fingerboard Extension downtown Corvallis at 120 Northwest 2nd Street today or check out its inventory on the web at fingerboardextension.com.
Georgia.
Hi, this is Willie Nelson. Alcohol prohibition didn't work in the 1920s, and marijuana prohibition isn't working today. It's time we stopped arresting responsible marijuana smokers. It's the fair thing to do.
For more information, contact NORML, the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws. Call toll-free 888-67-NORML or visit their website at norml.org.
The Marijuana Agenda. Like the pharmaceutical agenda, without all the side effects, overdose deaths, you know, insurance.
Side effects may include nausea, dry mouth, and constipation. Dry mouth, constipation, indigestion, and abdominal pain.
Which can occur without warning and may cause death.
I'm Russ Belville from the Marijuana Agenda. Join me every Friday for the Reefer Rock Review with Herb Thrasher from 420radio.org. Learn more at mjagenda.com/about.
Hello, Mr. Man. Hi. I'm working. I'm sorry, no food till this is done. It's time for Toker Talk Radio, the voice of the marijuana nation. Call in now at 650-LEGAL-MJ.
All right, welcome back, everybody. And it is 38 after the hour. And since we had such a short radical rant segment in the first hour, I figured this hour I could expand a little bit, take some time, and give you a bonus hour to rant.
Total war against public enemy number one.
10 federal criminal penalties for up to 1 ounce of marijuana.
Marijuana is probably the most dangerous drug.
Legalization is just another word for surrender.
I experimented with marijuana and didn't inhale.
This is not medicine. This is a Cheech and Chong show.
Encourage people to use less drugs.
I am ill.
That was the point.
I think it would be a mistake to leave the state.
Negative reports coming out of Colorado.
Don't smoke marijuana.
Eight U.S. states and Washington, D.C. have now legalized the adult possession and use of cannabis. As an adult over 21 preparing for your summer vacation, maybe you're considering a visit to one of them. But what are the exact rules and regulations you need to know for your legal marijuana vacation? How much marijuana can you have? The general rule of thumb in the legal states is that you can keep on your person 1 ounce, or 28 grams, of usable marijuana. The exceptions are Washington, D.C., where you may have 2 ounces, or 56 grams, and Maine, where you may have 2.5 ounces, or 70 grams. If you decide to go with edible forms of cannabis, possession amounts vary. Washington and Oregon expressly allow a pound of solid cannabis products like cookies or cake, and up to 72 ounces, which is about a six-pack, of liquids like sodas or tinctures. All of the other states allow for any amount of edible product so long as it contains no more than the marijuana possession limit within it, right? Like you can have an ounce in California or in Nevada or in Maine or Massachusetts, and then or Maine's 2.5 ounces, right? And you can put that much into your brownies. Well, how does a cop look at a plate of pot brownies and tell whether or not there's less than an ounce of flour in them? Your guess is as good as mine on that one. How about extracts? Well, that's different because the rules for possession of concentrated marijuana products like hash oil, wax, dab, shatter, they've become real popular lately, and the rules are different. Washington, D.C. still treats extracts as a crime, worthy of jail and fines. Nevada set their limit for concentrates at 3.5 grams. Massachusetts is at 5 grams. Washington State is at 7 grams. And California is at 8 grams. The rest of the states allow possession of as much extract as flower. Meaning, you could have an ounce of extract in Colorado and Alaska. You could have 2.5 ounces of extract in Maine. Now, Oregon also allows 1 ounce, but that limit only applies to extracts, which the state defines as those made with explosive hydrocarbon gases like butane, hexane, and propane, or high heat and pressure like a supercritical CO2. Now, if the concentrate is made without high heat and pressure and without any of the ANE gases, it's not an extract, it's a concentrate, like a rosin press or like bubble hash, ice water hash. You can possess a pound of that in Oregon, just like you can possess a pound of pot brownies. How much does it cost? Well, not every state has opened pot shops yet. Just Washington, Oregon, Colorado, and Alaska just opened theirs. Washington, D.C. won't have them because Congress is blocking their attempts to tax and regulate marijuana. Massachusetts and Maine are still months away from opening any shops. California has plenty of medical dispensaries, which you can enter if you decide to spend some money on a medical marijuana evaluation that nearly anybody could pass. And Nevada will open its doors to pot sales starting July 1st. But if you can't wait till then, it also has medical dispensaries that will accept your out-of-state card, like California's. And as far as the cost, well, it can vary depending on the supply, selection, location, and taxation. On the last front, Massachusetts will beat all the states on the lowest tax at just 5.75%. Maine's taxes will be 10%, Nevada's 15%, California's 15% plus $9.25 an ounce, Oregon's are 20%, Colorado's are 25%, Alaska's at $50 an ounce, and Washington State's a whopping 37%. As for the first three cost considerations, well, my home state of Oregon's got everybody beat with the lowest retail marijuana prices in the nation. Currently, priceofweed.com places Oregon's average high-quality ounce price at $210. Some shops even have specials where an ounce costs less than $100. Where can I smoke pot? Well, public consumption is still a no-no in all the legalized states, with varying penalties. Most of the states will issue a $100 ticket for public consumption. Washington, D.C., though, sets its fine at only $25, while California and Massachusetts can tack on an open container fine of $250 and $500, respectively. Oregon's public toking penalty is a Class B violation that can have fines as high as $1,000. But Nevada? Nevada is definitely the worst place to get caught toking in public. It's the only legal state that still applies a criminal penalty for public consumption. It's a misdemeanor with a $600 fine. As far as a place to go to smoke pot, well, Maine is the only state that guarantees there will eventually be licensed public marijuana lounges. Massachusetts and Nevada might license them legislatively, while California will allow localities to license them. Alaska and Oregon officials are shuttering the clubs that had opened, but are working on conditions to allow them in the future. Colorado's legislature bogged down this session trying to set them up. Washington is the only state that expressly forbids pot clubs, making the operation of one a felony under state law. Hotels throughout America are almost all non-smoking. Even in the legal states, most of them will fine you $250 for smoking marijuana in your room. And that's why so many vacationers are now turning to 420-friendly Airbnbs like this one instead. How about weed and driving? Well, on that front, it's never been legal to drive under the influence of marijuana. And in most of the legal states, the police still rely on sobriety tests and observation to determine if you are too impaired to drive. However, under legalization, some states have instituted unscientific DUID standards that could land you in jail even though you're nowhere near impaired. In Nevada, just 5 nanograms, and a nanogram, by the way, is a billionth of a gram, 5 nanograms of inactive marijuana metabolite in your urine is enough to convict you of a DUID. 5 nanograms is an amount you could easily have in your system even a month after your last toke. And the state will also accept 2 nanograms of active THC in blood as proof of your impairment. In Washington State and Colorado, 5 nanograms of active THC in blood are required for a conviction. In Colorado, you can rebut that evidence by proving in court that you weren't impaired. But in Washington, that 5 nanogram is an automatic conviction. While active THC in blood is what causes impairment from marijuana, levels this low are easily achievable by frequent marijuana consumers who are not too impaired to drive, even after a full night's sleep. Also, be aware that in Colorado, Nevada, Maine, California, and Washington, D.C., police may set up DUI checkpoints to evaluate your condition to drive without any suspicion to believe you're impaired. Can you take some marijuana home? Of course not. And even though the 4 Western legal states share borders, remember that it's illegal for you to take your legal marijuana from one state into another, even if they're both legal states. I can't take my weed into Washington. I can't take it into California. I can't take it into Nevada legally. And if you're visiting from abroad, foreigners, U.S. Customs and Border Patrol might ask you at the border if you consume marijuana. If you answer yes, even if you were in a legal state when you toked, you can be denied entry into the United States for life. So, if you get asked the marijuana question at the border, politely decline to answer. That will result in you being barred from entering the United States, but only on that day. You can try to cross the border again tomorrow and hope the next customs agent doesn't ask the question. So, here's to your marijuana summer vacation. Be safe and legal. Have yourselves a great time.
You're listening to The Marijuana Agenda with Russ Belville.
Hey everybody, it's Russ Belville from The Marijuana Agenda, inviting you to be like me and get your ink done at Lucky Horseshoe Tattoo, Fort Worth's most female-friendly, clean, sterile, awesome tattoo shop. Thomas and his crew are true artists who can design you a custom piece or use a design you bring in. Lucky Horseshoe also offers all styles of tattooing as well as piercings and all-around fun. In the DFW area, stop by Lucky Horseshoe Tattoo and tell them Radical Russ sent you. Trust me, it'll feel awesome.
It's time for cannabis facts about Alzheimer's from Robert Platschorn's thesilvertour.org. This message is supported by our donors and Hemp Inc., a public company poised to lead America's hemp revolution at hempinc.com. A new Florida study in the journal Molecular and Cellular Neuroscience found that cannabis promotes the growth of healthy new brain tissue. It can slow the effects of Alzheimer's and may in fact be able to halt it entirely. A long-term study by Ohio State University's Professor Gary Wenk concludes that people who regularly use marijuana get Alzheimer's at a much lower rate than others. This was Cannabis Facts from thesilvertour.org, an educational nonprofit supported by our donors and Hemp Inc., a public company poised to lead America's hemp revolution at hempinc.com.
You're listening to The Marijuana Agenda with Russ Belville.
Russ Belville from The Marijuana Agenda. Join me every 4 weeks for Shark Sessions from The Marijuana Show. Learn more at mjagenda.com/about.
It's time for Toker Talk Radio, the voice of the marijuana nation. Call in now at 650-LEGAL-MJ.
Welcome back, everyone. 51 after the hour, and today is as good a day as any for me to have a head cold, because then I can put this red nose on, and you really can't see any difference in my voice. Those of you watching on YouTube, you can see I've got this obnoxious red nose on, and today's Red Nose Day, and it's awareness for childhood hunger, right?
Poverty.
Well, if you're poor, you're probably hungry, right? Hey, and by the way, if you're hearing this voice on the other side, that's Dolphiness, who's here in the studio hanging out. Yes, she's hanging out. She's our Airbnb guest here at Delta 9 House, and reminding you that you can stay here at Delta 9 House throughout the summer. Prices start at just $50 a night, but man, you get all the weed and dabs you can handle. You get a fresh waffle scrambled egg breakfast in the morning, and all the accoutrement here at Delta 9 House. Just check it out at delta9house.com. Book your rooms at delta9.house. And I got to take this nose off. It's bugging the hell out of me. But I'm glad I have it now. Roland Reverend says, I look like W.C. Fields. Yes, I look like W.C. Fields. Ah, heavens to Murgatroyd. Yes. God, I'm dating myself with these references. Oh, my God. All right. As we're closing up shop here today, a couple of more things to mention. One comes to us from ABC 17, KMIZ, Missouri's finest, Jefferson City, Columbia. Okay. So I got this link earlier today to this news station, abc17news.com/opioids. Okay, now Missouri, like a lot of states, deep in the grips of the opioid overdose epidemic, right? And so their website has all this information about the opioid epidemic. Now, I'll give you a look here. Let me switch over that, even though it's not drug war data mining and it's not Steve White. We'll deal with that. Here, let me fix that real quick before we switch the screens. I can fix those kind of things here. There we go. All right. So this is the website. We'll put this up on the screen. Okay. So ABC 17, opioid crisis, the opioid crisis, born addicted, the opioid crisis, a medical crime. Prevention and recovery resources, reports and statistics about drug use, the opioid crisis, deadly addiction, facts on the misuse of prescription drugs, rehabilitation programs and centers, links to the U.S. FDA, Department of Health and Human Services, American Society of Addiction Medicine. Oh my God, a Missouri $10 million grant to fight the opioid epidemic, battling the opioid crisis, town hall meeting, emergency OD, oh, the opioid epidemic. So I was looking through this. And there was one thing that seemed to be missing in the ABC 17 page. That was any mention of how medical cannabis has been shown. Numerous studies now have shown it to be an amazing tool to help fight the opioid epidemic. An amazing tool. 25% fewer pills prescribed, opiate deaths, people checking into rehab, all of it. Everything goes down when you give people a safer option to treat their pain. And it's just frustrating to me every time we cut. Now, this isn't to discount what's going on with opiate overdose. We've had almost as many people die recently of opiate overdose as died in the entire Vietnam War. That was 58,000 people. I've seen the wall. So this is a crisis. This is a problem. But until this country can get past its reefer madness blinders and recognize the solution is right in front of us. This opiate epidemic is the natural resolution of our pharmaceutical industrial complex. This was bound to happen. We have a healthcare system that's based on the idea of keeping people sick so they keep buying the product. And nowhere do you get a product that people want to buy more than if you're selling an addictive drug. And the DEA and our government has given the green light to these pharmaceutical corporations to pump out tons of this crap. Tons and tons of it. Increased quota amounts over the past 20 years in the 24x range, like 24 times more pills than just 20 years ago. The United States of America consumes 80% of the world's opiate prescriptions. That didn't happen by accident. That happened through marketing. Purdue Pharmaceuticals, when it first came out with OxyContin, boasted about how it was the new non-addictive, not prone to abuse version of an opioid painkiller. It would revolutionize the market, revolutionize treatment. It was all bullshit. It's just as addictive or more so than heroin. And then we allowed them to continue manufacturing greater and greater powerful opioid drugs. Fentanyl, 50 to 100 times more powerful than heroin and morphine. And now carfentanyl, 100 times more powerful than fentanyl. And these are all legal drugs, folks. These are all prescribable by any doctor in any state. All legal. Corporations making hundreds of millions, billions of dollars in profit off these legal drugs. So you don't see often in the media or in discussions about this opiate epidemic, number one, the culpability of our pharmaceutical industrial complex in this, their complicit behavior in ensuring that tens of thousands of people become addicted and die so they can make a bigger profit. That's one thing we don't hear enough of. And the other we don't hear enough of is how cannabis is the exit drug from opiate addiction. Cannabis is the answer to this problem. At least one of the answers, at least a major answer. They don't want to talk about that. In fact, the organs of the Trump administration want to trumpet the link between marijuana and opiate addiction itself. They want to say that allowing recreational marijuana legalization is going to lead to heroin addiction, which will lead to opiate addiction, which will lead to death. It's all the fault of us dirty dopers getting kids hooked on the marijuanas and then they move on to the heroin. They're really pushing that hard. This Greg Gianforte in Montana, who's probably going to win tonight, believes strongly in the gateway theory. Don't know how many times you have to debunk this to people. That not everybody that smokes pot moves on to weed. In fact, most people that smoke pot do not move on to weed. But they always want to say, well, everyone I know that's ever done heroin started on weed. Well, no, they probably started on mother's milk. Mother's milk has cannabinoids in it, natural cannabinoids, anandamide. Mother's milk was the first drug we ever took. That didn't lead us to heroin. Hell, even most people using opiates don't get addicted to opiates. We have people that go into hospitals all the time for broken legs, for major surgeries, that are given these prescriptions for these opiate medications, and most people take them as directed, and most people get off them, and most people don't have a problem with it. So not even the people taking the opiates get addicted to the opiates all the time, much less the people who are choosing a safer alternative for their pain management. Ah, frustrating. All right, that's all the time we got for today. So much to talk about, but I've only got so much voice to go. Thanks for joining us. We'll talk to you tomorrow. Until next time, take care of each other, tokers.
Follow MJ Agenda on Facebook, Pinterest, Instagram, YouTube, and SoundCloud. And follow MJ Agenda Show on Twitter. Learn more at MJAgenda.com.
You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you try it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you try it, you roll it, you smoke it. it goes down smooth. Hey!